What we want to do on the call today is just kind of follow up on the information that was provided last Friday, and after we go through that, we want to talk a little bit about recommendations for the fishery, and hopefully Lori will be able to Lori will be able to kick loose here and give us a PSP update. With that, I just want to go over the hatchery rack information with everybody pretty quickly. I know Barb sent that out yesterday. Since that's been sent out, we've had an additional 21 hatchery fish to nacelle. No wild Chinook. We're sitting on about 1,500, and keep in mind for Forks and Nema, these are rough counts. We'll start sorting the fish on Monday. So we have about 1,500 Chinook at Nema and about 300 Chinook at Forks. Just to touch base on coho, we have about 350 hatchery coho on hand at nacelle, and we've only seen 3 wild fish at nacelle. Those have all been passed upstream. So that's kind of where we're at from a hatchery standpoint. This week the numbers went down significantly from what we had last week. So I'll turn it over to Barb, and she can update us on the fisheries information for this week. Go ahead, Barb.
This is Ross. I didn't catch the nacelle rack number.
So the number is this. You can basically add 21 to the hatchery count. So we had what was sent out yesterday. The number for this week was 85. We've had an additional 21 yesterday afternoon and this morning. With no and no wild fish.
Wow. Maybe
850, not 85. No, this week for Stat Week, Ross, if you go to Stat Week 38 and go over, you'll see the daily total is 85 we had so far for just this week. Oh. We've had another 21 since then, bringing our season total to just shy of, just right about 1,000 fish, 1,004.
That's the thinking.
Yeah. And there were no wild fish. So if there's no more questions on that, I'll turn it over to Barb to go through the rest.
Hang on, let me ask this question. Is your proportion of hens to bucks typical? Where are you at in terms of egg take potential out of 1,000 fish?
That's a great question, Francis. So we don't have a real great sex ratio just yet. We will when we start going through the ponds. But in looking at it, I was down at nacelle and Nema earlier this week. John and I are looking at it somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40% females. So I would say, based on that, we think we're somewhere between 40 to 50% of the females we need.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Any more questions? Okay, I'm just going to run through this Rex information as well as the commercial stuff really quick. As for what I sent out yesterday, this goes through the 16th, which is through Sunday. At this point, we've actually sampled a little over 1,900 boats and almost 4,500 anglers. Of those, we've actually sampled 616 hatchery Chinook that they kept, and they reported releasing 184 unmarked Chinook. There was also 229 ad-clipped coho kept and another 100 unmarked coho kept. We'll be doing the creel for another week through the 30th, and we'll have a little more data after that for the rest of the week for next week. For the commercial stuff, 2T and 2U started this week. 2U is going to be using TangleNet for the entire season. Effort has been low, much lower than we expected it. That's partly because of the reason we're on this conference call. To date, as of yesterday when I sent this out, we've got landed almost 1,400 Chinook, a little over 2,100 coho, and just 5 chum.
That's the whole bay?
That's the whole bay combined. If you want to look at the specifics in terms of area, just look at that spreadsheet that I, all the data that I sent out yesterday.
That's good. Thank you.
Sure. There you go, Chad.
Okay. So are there any questions on that
Yeah, hey, Barb, would you do me a favor? This is Bob.
Sure.
Would you turn around and put that in a landscape with bigger type on it, please? Because I can't seem to change over on my machine.
I will do what I can, Bob.
No, next time you fill one off, you do it, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Because I can't blow it up. Yeah, it won't allow me to blow it up. So,
okay.
Thanks. So are there any other questions on the fisheries monitoring? Okay, I'm hearing none, so I think we'll move on. So basically, where we're sitting is kind of where we feared we all were last Friday, that we got a big push of fish, and then there wasn't a whole lot of Chinook behind it to back it up. The data is supporting that. We're not seeing much Chinook out in the marine area, nor are they coming in significant numbers to the rack. So we are considering making some changes and would like to take some input on that. From a commercial perspective, I mean, we're right about 26% for both hatchery and naturals of what we predicted pre-season. For the wrecks, we're about 13% in terms of natural origin Chinook and 20% for hatchery origin Chinook, what we predicted pre-season. As I mentioned earlier, we only think we have about half of the females that we need for broodstock. So I think we're going to change the paradigm here a little bit. I know a lot of you folks have asked for where we're sitting, what we're thinking prior to giving the input, so I'm going to do that. Given the data that I'm looking at in hand, I think it makes some sense to make some changes for Chinook. Our coho numbers look pretty strong. Coho numbers both to the rack and in the commercial fishery look good. I think we're too early to make any calls on what we may have for coho right now. Our preseason forecast is the best look. But with that being said, we're seeing a serious issue here with Chinook and being able to make egg take. So I think what we're talking about is non-retention of Chinook everywhere in the bay for both commercial and recreational fisheries. We're also want to get your guys' input on freshwater bag limits. A lot of those are set at 4 fish, or in the case of Nacelle and Willapa just went to 4 fish from 2 fish, and some areas of the Nacelle only have 2 fish till the end of the month, and then we'll go for 4 fish. So we'd like to take some input on a reduction in a bag limit for the freshwater down to either 3 or 2. So that's kind of what we're bandying about here, and would like to take your guys' input on that. So does anybody have any questions about that?
So just a little more input on what we're thinking on the bag limit changes. We've got a lot of places right now that are either at 2, some are at 4. October 1, we go to from 2 up to 4 in some places. So one of the thoughts of going to 2 across the board would be it would simplify things for the angler. Going just to 3 in places where we're currently at 4, you know, is a bit of a reduction, but it doesn't go all the way as far as, you know, dropping it down to 2. And then coupled with that, going down to like a 1 hatchery Chinook in the bag release wild in combination. So just to try and keep things relatively simple, those are the thoughts we had.
I'll tee off. I'm not shy. Francis.
Okay.
But see, I think going to 3 is inconsequential. Most guys aren't even going to get 3, let alone 4. Going from 4 to 3 is inconsequential to saving. So it's kind of a pointless move. I would say go down to 2, make it uniform all the way across. You know, non-retention, hatchery or wild, you need all the fish you can get for egg take. The only savings to be had is in fresh water. The fish are by the marine. You can say that in the marine, but you're not going to get any savings there. But I think for the benefit of not discriminating against fresh versus salt, I would concede to a non-retention of Chinook in the bay as well. And because you don't know what you have for wild coho, leave your one wild coho in place. So two fish bag, no more than one wild coho, release all Chinook. That's my proposition.
Thank you for that, Francis.
I've got a comment I'd like to make, Mrs. Bob, and I know this for a fact. Last Sunday afternoon, there were six guys in one hole on an A cell, and they landed over 48 Chinook and high-graded the hell out of them. And if you guys read that article out of Alaska, what happens to those eggs on those females when they're turned around and stressed out with lactic acid and that, you know damn good and well, we're going to really be hurting. And those fish absolutely quit in the nacelle. There was nothing there yesterday, period. So, and I've been working right on the riverbank watching these fish go by for the last 3 weeks. So if you guys want to keep opening up your fish like that, let them go and let them high-grade them, we won't have any fish back, period.
So this is Greg. Can I have a comment?
Go, Greg.
Why don't you go through this alphabetical, just go from first to first, so everybody can have their comments instead of jumping on each other. Well, this is Greg, and I was laughed at in the last meeting when I said zero retention when you thought you were going to have problems. I've seen the same thing that Bob has seen because he's probably looking in the hole behind my house.
Yep.
It is absolutely ridiculous to say, you know, you're already strict taking the commercial fleet out of this. We told you the fish were in river. We saw that in our fishery. And now to say that we're going to reduce them to whatever besides a zero is absolutely asinine. We've watched it. I've watched it behind my house all week long. We have gone a week, and I've watched them take hens out of the hole behind my house, throw the bucks away, or they just release them, and we're worried about egg intake. And I'm pretty upset right now because I've seen this going on behind my house. The fish were in the river, and we had the Columbia River was shut down. Where do you think all the people came to go fishing? They came to the Nacelle, they came to the Nema, they came to the different areas because that was the only place to fish, okay? And now we have stripped all these hens out of here, you know, with our egg intake. We've gone a week, and that's the part that's absolutely infuriating to me is we haven't done anything for a week. So, and now you're saying we're just going to adjust it down to a two? That's ridiculous. I mean, you know, at this point, why don't if they're going to keep one, keep a male because they've taken the hens out for egg take. I mean, I don't understand,
Greg,
why the department has such a hard time.
Greg, I think you're I'm not sure we're miscommunicating here. I think maybe what we're talking about is no Chinook retention in freshwater. That would just be a two bag limit only coho.
I thought Kurt had said two. I'm sorry, I missed that part. But
I wasn't clear in being specific about Chinook non-retention. The proposal that I was speaking to is effectively exactly what Francis said.
Yeah.
It would release
Chinook everywhere in all fisheries. No retention of any Chinook anywhere.
Is that the commercial?
Yes, that would include commercial fisheries.
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
I didn't understand that. But
okay.
What I'm saying is this should have been done a week ago when you thought you had a problem. And that's what I'm upset about is I watched our egg intake being taken out of that and the bucks released. And until this department gets a handle on that, I think we're going to run into this problem all the time. So that's – okay, I'm done.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, thanks, Greg. I think I'll take Lance's idea and run forward with that. So, Andy, I know you're on speaker. Would you like to add anything?
This is Ross. I have a question.
Just hold on a second, Ross. I will get to you, absolutely. We'll give Andy just chime in if you get a second. So, Bob, did you... So what are your thoughts on the recommendation?
Well, as far as I'm concerned on the freshwater sports. I wasn't able to make the meeting. I didn't get home until like 6:30. I was down working all day down on Nacelle. But the problem is, like I say, it's absolutely asinine. You turn around and you open that area up from the Highway 4 bridge up to the hatchery. You want to know where all your Nacelle fish went? There they went, right down the road, probably back to Oregon. But I didn't understand what Kurt said about zero retention. But on the same token, I think to shut the commercials off after the sports have had an ocean fishery, a bay fishery, and a freshwater fishery really sticks us right in the ass, is one way to put it. So that's all I got to say.
Thanks, okay. Bob. Thank you, Bob. Let's see who we got next. Andy, Bob, Greg, Lance.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I agree with Greg, and when we look at these things, my biggest problem is we're not managing fisheries. We're managing what the Fish Commission put out on a piece of paper. And it's absolutely ridiculous that we don't look at a fishery and say, okay, we've got a problem. We can look all up and down the coast. We can look at Columbia River. We've looked at everything for months. We knew we were probably going to have a problem with Chinook. And now here we are. And these fish are laying in the river. I think we have the fish we need, but they're all stuck in these holes. They aren't going to go up. There's no water. Go look at the rivers. There's nothing going by. They're sitting there, and people are just absolutely annihilating them. We were there this morning fishing with them. If you don't stop this fishery, we will not make egg cake. And everybody sits here and says, oh, I'm all about conservation. I'm all about saving this, saving that. Well, here's your chance. Those fish are gone by our fishery. You can go look at the deals every day. We are catching literally a salmon in our fishery. They are gone through the bay. They're in the freshwater. And if you keep fishing on them, I don't care whether you keep one or don't keep one. The people are going to go down there and fish them if it's open, and you're not going to make your egg cake. You know you're not going to make it if you keep fishing. That's all I got to say. So good luck.
Okay. Thanks, Lance. Let's go to Norm.
I thought Ross was in front of me.
We're going alphabetical.
We're going alphabetical,
oh,
so
N okay.
is for R.
So, you know, I was there last week, and I think you all heard what I said last week. First, we all agreed to wait to see what was going to happen this coming week. Well, we've done that, and we see that we're in trouble. Last week I said, close it all down. I'm not backing away from that. We need those eggs in the hatchery. We don't need to be fishing on them. We don't need to go to bucks only. We need to just let the fish get by. Let's get our eggs. Let's take care of the future now. I'm done.
Thanks, Norm.
Okay, thanks, Norm. I'll go to Ross.
I had a question before I give you my input. I didn't hear any input on the natural origin recruits. They seem quite scarce in your reports and in my observations. And I'd like to know where we stand compared to the number of NORs we expected in the basin. And if you use the mortality rate you know in the bay, and if you use the mortality rate last year for fresh water, how are the percentages are running right now? 9% for commercials, something for recs. Under 20. How's that progressing right now for NORs?
Well, Ross, I would say the fisheries have been proceeding well below expectation. I think I said for the natural origin fish in the commercial fishery, we're at 28% of expectation. For the rec fishery, we are 13% of expectation. Now, that rec fishery is just fresh, just saltwater. I'm not including freshwater in that. In terms of where we are for the 20%, I don't have an answer to that yet. We just started getting reds this week, and we only have them in a few of our lower sections. So we've still got a ways to go there. I'm not going to be. I can't quote you a number at this point in time, Ross. I'm just not sure.
Okay. Okay, I would say, you know, my thoughts of a recommendation, and I could adapt it based on what else I hear, but my thoughts right now is there can definitely be no retention in the bay. There should be no retention in fresh water where there's a conservation problem, and I'll get back to that in a minute. If we keep coho netting in the South Bay, that's my understanding, we're using gill nets. And I don't think we can afford kill anymore, nor is in the bay. And if we're not making egg take in most rivers, or is either. And so I see a problem with continuing to fish coho with non-selective gear in the bay. In freshwater, I think that it should be shut down everywhere that there's a conservation or egg take problem. And go to zero, which we didn't understand in your first statement. I think that the Nema is a potential exception. You know that the upper river above the Nema Valley Bridge is closed to all fishing. We had fish for 3 days in the seniors' hole, and that's been over since last Saturday. So in the Nema, the upper river, there is no fishing already. We have no early coho. And in the Nema, I think that little or no harm would be done if the sports in the Nema were allowed to keep, in the lower section that's open, we're allowed to keep one male Chinook. And that's about all we can take a chance on, and we really need to get on top of the Norris situation. No, thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Ross. I just want to make sure I'm clear here. So your suggestion would be close down the bay. Is that the sport fish? Is that both fisheries or just the commercial fishery?
Well, no, close down the bay, as I thought you suggested, to all Chinook retention.
Okay.
And the concern is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the concern is a big portion of the bay has shifted over to gill nets. And with a Chinook problem, I don't think we can have gill nets out there.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. And then in terms of the freshwater, so you're saying close freshwater fisheries in the Willapa and the Nacelle just below the hatchery?
Wherever it's open now in those rivers should be closed for Chinook retention.
Just for Chinook retention, so they would still be open and be allowed to go after coho. So you're in favor of the recommendation as we stated, just no Chinook retention.
Yeah.
Except for the Nema, where you may be able to take one male.
Right. But I'm not ready to say what you just said. I'm not ready to say leave those rivers open to coho because we don't know how the Norris are doing.
Okay.
I think to make an intelligent decision, if you can catch and release Norris in the Willapa and the Nacelle, I think we need to make an intelligent decision about how many Norris we got, you know, because there is a small mortality rate, even with hook and line. And so I'm not knowing where we stand with the Norris. I don't know that I would say you can't fish, you know. But
okay.
I think we can't fish with non-selective gear in the bay.
Okay. Thank you for that, Ross. So we have Steve next, and then Tim will round us out.
Yeah, I'm here. I can't recommend a fishery for in freshwater or salt. Not at least for 2 weeks.
I'm sorry, I had a hard time. Did you say basically close down everything for 2 weeks?
That's my recommendation.
And
okay, thanks for that, Steve.
I should have given a date that would have been until October 15th. I didn't give a date. October 15th would be closed.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Ross.
Sorry.
Nope, not a problem. And then, Tim, you're last up.
Okay. Well, everybody stole my thunder or lightning
rod. We'll go reverse alphabetic next time for you.
Yeah, okay. So here's where my head is. We have a dismal report on Norris. If we continue to fish while the Norris are in the streams or coming through the bay, we're there. And the modeling always shows that there are Chinook impacts that will occur. I like the date of the 15th. There's going to be Norris and hatchery impacts in the bay.
because the model shows it, and the reaction from the commercial fleet is they recognize that there's still Chinook out there. And it would be one thing if we had a slightly downturn, but these percentages that we're showing are, in my read, worse than the Columbia. And though they have better counting down there with dams, we do have all these indicators. And our indicators, the way I'm doing the math, is we're in worse trouble than the Columbia. And they shut the Columbia down to all harvest, all types, and didn't leave it open for coho, in my understanding, because they could not afford the catch and release impacts of poles and nets on the short run of Chinook. I believe that is the same.
Coho are down too, Tim. There's a conservation concern for coho.
What's that?
Coho are down in the Columbia as well. There's a conservation concern for them. That's why they shut it down. It wasn't to lay people off the Chinook.
Well,
yes,
you've got different information than I've got. But I can tell you that I believe we're in a situation where we can't afford any impacts on hatchery or, and especially Norse, in either saltwater or freshwater, pole or net. And so from a conservation standard, I was going to say 2 weeks. They stole that, and Ross just said October 15th. I believe it's time for a timeout. We take a timeout till October 15th, and between now and then, figure out what best we can on the condition of the coho and let these Chinook pass. It's not a matter of whether we kill five with a pole or four in a net. It's the fact that we can't afford to lose those nine. And to go through this year, if you continue on your suggestion, I'm going to predict we're going to blow eight take, and we're going to dramatically drop our nor counts, and we're going to pummel this thing. And so I'm telling you, it's time for a timeout. And I agree with those who feel that way. I shut the whole thing down until October 15th. And then by that time, we can assess where we're at and figure out what opportunities for whom are left. That's my point.
Okay, thanks for that, Tim. We did have...
Hey,
go ahead.
I'd like one more crack, having heard everybody's the full spectrum of recommendations. I would concede that the Chinook situation is dire enough that we really need to keep people off those Chinook. I also recognize that we'd like to keep some coho opportunity available for the recreational fishery. There is no place to fish. We can't afford to be shutting down more places. So to the extent that there are some coho available, there are no Chinook available, I would further restrict my recommendation to a one fish bag, any coho, no bait. As soon as you put no bait on it, no one's fishing for king. Okay? Everyone's using eggs to fish for king. You put no bait on there, you don't need bait to catch the coho. You got spinners, you got spoons, you got flies, you got jigs. A coho will eat anything. If that's really what we want to do, is have some opportunity preserved, and it's going to be on coho, and we don't want to impact king, let's make it one and done. It gives somebody something to do, something to catch, and if they get something retainable, they're off the water. So I think that's even more conservative than what I put out there initially. It respects some of the concerns brought out by the commercial side that all of the savings is in fresh water. That's where the fish are. To the extent that we can lay off those kings and still have some semblance of a recreational fishery, that's my amended recommendation after hearing everybody's opinion. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Fred.
Bob, I got an amendment, too, I'd like to make.
Okay.
And also, Ross made a point in the NEMA, keeping one male. Well, I got news for you. If anybody has done any study at all, ask by the scientists what happened to the eggs on the Kenai River, how 70% of the females, the eggs were no good. Are we going to willing to take any chances? Because those eggs in the NEMA might have to go to the nacelle or even corkscrew to meet any kind of an egg take goal. And we know the NEMA has never made its egg take goal on its own. So why would we even leave the Nemo open? And I'll tell you what, if you can tell me, guarantee me, that the wreck will not go in there and try to catch salmon, I can go in there with a damn spinner and catch salmon. Tell me you can't. Yeah, they bite eggs good, but they also spinner's real good.
Okay.
But the thing is, hey, the only way you're going to keep them off the salmon is to shut the freshwater down, period, until the fish get by. That's the bottom line, if you're going to be honest about it. So,
I agree with Bob. It is September 20th. The recreational fishery has been fishing since the 1st of July. They have caught their fish. Now you're trying to kill us out. You're trying to kill our fishery. And they have already caught their fish. There's nobody fishing on the Nemo anymore. We drove down there this morning. You know, this is ridiculous. You know, the first thing you want to do is shut the commercial fishery out after the recreational has had a full, robust fishery. That is ridiculous. It's time for the recreational to quit fishing them in the river.
The freshwater guy in the bank got a chance.
Okay, guys, I think we're devolving here, so.
So we've got a little.
Yeah, I got one second here. So I agree, or maybe with Francis, right? No bait. No bait. You know, I would say close it, but if you're going to leave it open, one and done. That way they can't just keep fishing. If they land that fish, one and done. Okay, that way they can't just hook early. You're going to get no savings from the commercial fishery. Okay? It's not going to happen. I'm out here right now. Okay, I haven't had a throwback all day. I think I got two hatcheries Chinook. Okay, there's a few silvers there this afternoon. It's a coho fishery. There's no savings out here. It's in the freshwater, and if you're going to make any action, it happens in the freshwater.
Okay, so thanks everyone for your input.
Chad, see how you gave everybody time to commend them. I have for my contact.
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, okay. So the question is, are we going to kill any fish in a net in the bay? Go to your model, go to your preseason expectations, show your run timing, and you will see that there are still, as Andy said, two, but I don't know how many coals we got, but there's two. Okay. So you have a mortality rate in the bay for Chinook that will continue on over the next 2 weeks. And it may be lower numbers. It may not be very lucrative for a commercial fisherman, but it's there. And I agree with him. You've got to stop killing them. But not just stop killing them in the river. You got to stop killing them before they get to the river. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. So what we'll do is summarize the comments and try and get some time with Ron to put a recommendation together, and then we'll send that back out. And so with the time we have left, I've asked Lori Peterson, our panel, Southern Panel Chair for the U.S., to come in and give us an update on the PST. Some of you may have seen what news releases have come out. I know there's been a couple things recently this week. Now that we have formally tentative agreement between the U.S. and Canada, the basics of that are in northern fisheries, depending on the run size, what's typically referred to as the abundance indices, and this is for fisheries that are abundance-based. So those that occur from west coast of Vancouver Island to southeast Alaska. The reduction across that range of mixed stock fisheries is about 1.5% when the abundances are high, and 12.5% when the abundances are in the low range. And then in the U.S. waters and the Canadian waters that are more what we would refer to as more terminal in nature, that are independent stock-based management. So Puget Sound, for example, all of our Puget Sound stocks, those reductions are in the range of about 7 to, or did I write it down? 7.5%. 5 to 15%. There we go. Those are based on the rates that were agreed to during the 2009 through 2018 management structure. And then for more detail on Chum and Coho, Lori's going to go through what that means for Chum and Coho. And this is primarily related to Puget Sound, but give you kind of a rundown of what it means in those fisheries.
Kurt, can I jump in? This is Norm. Can I jump in with a question real quick?
Sure.
Near terminal fisheries, that 5 to 15% reduction, where is that reduction going to take place? Is that still off the west coast of Vancouver, or is that within the 3-mile territorial limit?
So it depends on the fishery. So many of those WCVI, West Coast of Vancouver Island fisheries, are abundance-based management. For those that are occurring in the Strait of Georgia, Strait of Juan de Fuca, off the outer Washington coast, inside Puget Sound and the terminal areas, those are the ones that are the 5 to 15% reduction. It's those other ones that are the abundance-based that are off the west coast of Vancouver Island, northern BC, and southeast Alaska that are the variable 1.5 to 12.5 range.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Okay, Lori.
All right, this is Lori. So I was involved the last 2 years with the negotiations for Coho Chapter 5 and Chum Chapter 6. So I'll go through the Coho chapter first. So the chapter's been simplified and clarified, but the fishery provisions remain largely similar. Both U.S. and Canada, we've committed to continuing abundance-based management approach for coho while taking into account current conservation challenges and environmental uncertainties. For their part, Canada will be managing Interior Fraser coho, also called Thompson coho, at a low abundance threshold and a low ER cap until such time as they adopt scientifically based reference points and associate ER cap for low, moderate, and high abundance status. And they are currently working on those methods and plan to have it done by the end of the year. They have reduced the number of Canadian units. So they used to have 4, Lower Fraser, the Interior Fraser, Georgia Strait, Vancouver Island, and Georgia Strait mainland. And so those 2 Georgia Strait stocks are going to be merged into 1. So that's a simplification. A key point that we got on the U.S. side was having Canada provide more reliable pre-season information. So they had it in the past to use our FRAM model at the end of their pre-season process, which is late June. They had not previously given us sort of an accurate pre-season estimate of their Canadian impacts on our U.S. stocks. But now that will be required of them by the end of their pre-season process in June.
Amen.
Yeah. We have some safeguards, I'll call it, on Canada. Both parties, it was a two-way street kind of negotiation approach. But if a producing country identifies concerns about increasing trends in exploitation rate on that producing country's management unit by the intercepting country over 2 or more years, we will have bilateral discussions of an appropriate management response for the following year. We also have provisions for some limited flexibility. We bilaterally agreed to include chapter language committing the parties to work together in developing bilateral guidance if one party should need an increase in exploitation or, on the other hand, a decrease from the other and we're working on the details of the method or procedure within Southern Panel this next year. Any questions on coho before I move to Chum?
Can I ask a generic question on that? Is that, does that include an Alaska troll, winter troll fishery, as well as the macaw and the whole troll fishery in the straits in the wintertime?
So you're referring back to Chinook now?
Yeah, I don't want to confuse the issue, but I'm just kind of thinking that, you know, what was taken out of that, because I know that macaw and whole fishery really has expanded in the last 20 years, where it used to be five or six boats, it's well over 100 now. And we know that's where our Columbia River spring salmon is a main rearing area.
Yeah, so this gets at the question that Norm asked, in my mind. So the reductions that are abundance-based management are applicable to the WCVI through SEAC fisheries, and the reductions that are a part of the more terminal inside fisheries that are the 5 to 15% reduction, depending on the stock, that's where the macaw troll fishery comes into play. During the time frame prior to the last treaty, so 2008 back to 99, the macaw troll fishery, as you indicated, was pretty big, 20,000 fish average a year, most of that during winter, some of it a small percentage during summer, and in the recent tenure associated with the current chapter language, their fishery has averaged about 3188 per year, with 500 or so in the summer and the rest being in winter. And so that summer fishery has some participation by Lower Elwha and Jamestown, but it's really pretty small.
Thanks, Kurt.
You bet. Any other questions on those? Thanks, Lori. All right, well, thanks, everyone.
Hang on, I got one more.
All right.
I got one more recommendation. And maybe it's a big out. A sport boat in the bay cannot compete with gill nets in 2 teeth. What are your concerns about the control zone at this point? If you're going to put sport boats in the bay, the only way those boats have half a chance is that they can get out in front of the net. So that little slice that's sitting out there in the control zone is the rec guy's only opportunity, meaningful opportunity, to catch fish in the bay. We're going to have no Chinook retention. There's some coho to be caught. Can't compete with a gill net if 2T is open.
Okay, we'll add that to the discussion, and we'll be. I've got a request to get some time with Ron this afternoon, so.
I'd like to go with Dunker.
I think one of those was Andy, I'm not sure.
No, it's Lance.
Oh, Lance, go ahead.
Here's what I'd like to see. We're all about conservation. I think you should close down both wreck fishing and commercial fishing until you get not only your egg take on salmon, but until you can account for 13,000 wild coho for your coho egg take or for your natural coho. And I think we should be shut down until we can account for the fact that we have all those. And if we don't, I think we're not going to make it on our coho either. I think you should shut all the fisheries down just like you did in the Columbia River so you can account for that. And by that, I mean you've got them in the river and you can count them.
Okay, thanks for that, Lance.
And this is Norm that was also trying to chime in one last time.
Okay.
I think we really should take a lesson from our Columbia River folks, and that is, I agree with Lance, shut it all down. No one fish retention. Let's shut it down. Someone was talking about October 16th. I really think that's the right thing to do. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Norm. Anybody else have any final thoughts?
If you're going to do that, make it January 1st.
Okay, thanks, Greg. All right, well, thank you all for taking time.
I got one more chat on that control zone. We're closed in the bay. We're closed down here. So you don't have to open it. You know, we only fished there 3 days this week. We fished there 4 days. It's open on the weekends. So to say that they have to have that control zone just because we're fishing, we're not fishing every day. You know, if you want to open it up because you want to open it up, fine. But don't use the excuse that the commercial fishing, they're, you know, fishing a couple days a week.
Okay. Thanks for that, Andy. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for their valuable time. Appreciate all the input. Like I said, we'll be up here internally, and then we'll get back to you folks with what we decide to move forward with. So thank you again.
Bye, y'all.